From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Carol Bousquet with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, December 31st, 2025. The mother of a one-year-old girl found unresponsive at a Milford residence Sunday morning says she wants to know what caused her daughter's death. Erica McLaughlin, who has been living in another state, says she was also told that her two surviving children had been taken to the hospital. Susan Sharon has more.
McLaughlin says she hadn't seen her three young children since she left Maine in June. She says she learned about her one-year-old daughter's death in a phone call early Sunday from her mother. When she called the hospital, she was told her three-year-old son was fine, and her other one-year-old daughter was with a nurse and stable.
All I was told is that her body temperature was low and that a nurse was holding her and she was stable and asleep in her arms.
McLaughlin says she and her estranged husband interacted with the Department of Health and Human Services 3 years ago when their son was born because there were concerns about the condition of their home. McLaughlin says repairs were made and the case was closed. A spokesperson for the Maine Department of Public Safety has released few details about the baby's death, but confirmed there is an ongoing active investigation. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Susan Sharon.
There's been a rash of fire fatalities this year, including in the past several months, with the arrival of cold weather. According to a spokesperson from the Department of Public Safety, 24 people were killed in fires this year. That's an increase from last year when 16 people died, but not as high as in 2023, when there were 29 fire-related deaths. According to a report from the State Fire Marshal's Office, fire fatalities in Maine began declining after the 70s, but they've been ticking up again, and this decade is on track to be the worst since the 90s, when 200 people lost their lives. Maine is experiencing a surge in flu cases and hospitalizations, according to the Maine Center for Disease Control. The state says more than 100 flu patients were hospitalized last week. Seven have died this season. Cases in Maine are peaking 2 weeks earlier than they did last year, according to the state. Influenza A is responsible for most cases in the state right now. On the final day of the year, Penobscot County Commissioners approved a new budget for 2026. As Nicole Agrisco reports, the approval of a $35 million budget came after a lengthy debate.
Penobscot County ended up making about $850,000 in departmental budget cuts and found $150,000 in previously unaccounted revenue. All told, the 2026 budget represents a more than 15% increase over the previous year. County commissioners said Wednesday that the burden on taxpayers isn't as high as initially feared. And Commissioner Dan Tremble said the budget increase is almost entirely driven by a $3.5 million shortfall at the Penobscot County Jail that needed to be covered.
We have no alternative this year other than to have this type of an increase in the budget to take care of this deficit in the jail.
Commissioners said that budget problems with the jail will likely persist unless the state increases funding support to county prisons. Penobscot County officials are also pushing for a new jail facility. The current jail is more than 150 years old, and the county spends more than $2 million a year to board inmates at other facilities. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nicole Ogrisco.
This month, Colby College announced it had raised $1 billion in just 8 years of a 10-year campaign. The original goal was $750 million, but Colby President David Green says fundraising consultants vastly underestimated the philanthropic goals of Colby supporters.
There's great love for this place, but there's also a real commitment for Colby to be a place that is helping Maine and that is helping to change the liberal arts. And with this campaign, we wanted to be able to do just that.
Green says the contributions have helped Colby invest in downtown Waterville and fashion generous financial aid packages for students from a broad spectrum of income levels. He says the school also intends to bolster its science and tech education offerings. Green says the fund drive will continue for 2 more years. Friends of Casco Bay is reporting that with the help of hundreds of volunteers, more than 10,000 pounds of trash were removed from southern Maine this year. The cleanup project was one of the organization's biggest, with volunteers targeting the Presumpscot River in Westbrook, Bug Light Park in South Portland, and other coastal areas. Sarah Freshley, a community organizer with Friends of Casco Bay, says the item most often picked up is cigarette butts.
A lot of people are surprised to learn that cigarette butts actually have plastic in them. And so that plastic then breaks down into microplastics. And by the time that plastic becomes microplastic, we really can't clean it up effectively. So it's really important to try to clean up these pieces that we can see and physically pick up before they make their way into the waterways and then degrade further.
Freshley says coastal cleanups are the last opportunity to prevent plastic and microplastic pollution from making their way to the ocean. Once there, she says, it's much harder and much less likely for them to be removed. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join Irwin Gratz for Morning Edition starting at 5 a.m. I'm Carol Bousquet. Thanks for listening.